الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله وعلى اله واصحابه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. اقيم دكتور عطا الشيخ عبد الرحمن يعتني بهذا الكلام. By the Prophet and that his killing
was the beginning of every kind of deviation we see among Muslims. And that those people who actually killed this man, what they did was an act of rebellion. So that act itself was khuruj, was rebellion. So those we are talking about now as Khawarij, it meant that at the time of Uthman, we had seen people who made khuruj. We had seen people who rebelled against the leader, who came out openly against them. And their case was so bad to the extent that they had to kill someone that the angels of Allah are shy of. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said regarding Uthman ibn Affan that Allah astahi mimman tastahi minhu al-malaika. Will I not be shy of someone that the angels of Allah are shy of? So that act of khuruj, that act of rebellion against Uthman ibn Affan itself is the basic index of the Khawarij. And that's why it does not take the scholar much time to declare as Khawariji anyone that rebels against the leaders of Muslims. It doesn't take them time to declare them, because that is the meaning of being a Khawariji itself. It is khuruj, rebellion against leaders. So it means that from the time of Uthman ibn Affan, we could see a group of people who came out in rebellion against leadership, the leadership of the Muslims. But this was just one of the period of manifestation of the Khawarij, because the Khawarij actually became a sect at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib. But also from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of them rebelled, one of those who rebelled against Ali ibn Abi Talib, and who amongst whom who led, or one of the leaders of those who were actually named Khawarij at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, was living at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a man referred to as Zu Khuwaisira. Zu Khuwaisira. Turqus ibn Zuhayl. Zu Khuwaisira. He is also referred to as Zu Sadiya, the man with the two breasts, like that of a woman. What happened, as is reported in this hadith, upon which we will base this discussion, inshallah, that Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, بينما نحن عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وهو يقسم قسما, we were with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم and he was distributing certain things. In some other report, would have it that it was Ali ibn Abi Talib from Yemen who sent some golden material, some property to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And the Prophet was distributing this property among some of the people. When some of the people asked the Prophet to give them also, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was giving those people that he was giving to make them, to make their hearts become attached to Islam. So he said they should not bother about it. So when what Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu was reporting here, that wahuwa yaqsimu qisman, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he was saying he was distributing some property, he's talking about that property that was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was distributing among some people so as to bring their hearts stronger in Islam. He said, while he was in that state, Atahu Zuhu Waisira, this man called Zuhu Waisira came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَهُوَ رَجُلٌ مِّن بَنِي تَمِيمٍ, and it's a man from Bani Tamim. Don't forget that we mentioned a man, one of those that the Prophet said that he saw sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream, that he was holding two golden materials. Some of the scholars have mentioned that this one is the second, because as the Fatima al-Kazab was from Banu Tamim, this man also is from Banu Tamim. So some of the scholars mentioned that he is the second person the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to, Allah wa alam. So Zuhu Waisara came and is from Banu Tamim. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ as the Prophet was distributing the property, he said, O Messenger of Allah, Eridil. In some riwayah, he said, Eridil, Fa'innaka lam ta'adil. He said, O Messenger of Allah, be fair, be just, because you have not been just. Group Waisra said that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Waylaka wa man ya'ajilu iza lam adil. Woe be unto you. If I am not just, who will be just? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Woe be unto you. If I am not just, who will be just? The Prophet said that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put down Zulk Waisra. And of course, the best and the most pious of men is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is just, he is seen as Al-Amin even before his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fact that Allah gave him the Quran to give to us is an indication that Allah sees him as that, as one who is just and fair. And that's why in some of the riwayah of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been trusted from above the heavens, and I have been given the Quran to deliver to you. Why is it that you on the earth will not trust me? So this is one of the reasons why you see in some hadith, you see Al-Qadikul Masduq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truthful, and he is taken as someone who is trustworthy. He is sadiq, he is fair, he is just and truthful, and he is al-masduq. He is taken as the one who is just and fair. He is actually just and fair, and people also consider him as just and fair. That's why those scholars say, no, al-masduq is the one who is considered just and fair from above the heavens. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just and fair. Despite what Zulk Waisra was insinuating. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I'm not just, who will be just? فَقَالَ عُمَرُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِذَا لِي فِيهِ فَأَضْرِبَهُ مُقَوْمُ. O Messenger of Allah, give me the permission, let me cut off his head. He has the right to challenge you that you are not just. Let me cut off his head. رَضِيَ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Da'am, leave him, fa inna lahu ashaban. He has companions. The Prophet started to describe them now. The Prophet said, leave him, O Umar. He has companions. Yahtiru ahadukum. The Prophet is describing his companions. The companions of who? Zulk Waisra. Furqat ibn Zuhair. The Prophet wants to describe the companions of this man. He said, يَحْكِرُ أَحَدُكُمْ صَلَاتَهُ مَعَ صَلَاتِهِمْ. These people, this man, any one of you who sees their salah, you will say, you will deny, you will underrate your own salah when you see them performing salah. If you see the Khawarij performing salah, you will feel that you don't know how to perform salah. The way they will stand, and that's why sometimes when some brothers are performing this salah, they stand like this, pull their bodies, stand as if, you know, the malaika of death is coming to pick them. Let us stand like human beings, normally as we stand, and be our normal self, without unnecessary show of physical piety that may not actually be there. So let us be careful about all these kind of gumudi attitude of showing piety that does not really exist. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that يَحْكِرُ أَحْدُكُمْ صَلَاتَهُ مَعَ صَلَاتِهِمْ. If you see them performing salah, you will underrate your own salah. You will feel nonsense of your salah. وَصِيَامَهُ مَعَ صِيَامِهِمْ. If you see them performing siyam, fasting, you will speak evil, you will underrate your own fasting. You think, am I really performing fasting? Look at someone fasting. Perhaps in the fasting, perhaps, they may not even take their sahur, so that the hunger can really be shadid upon them, can really be difficult upon them. There are people who think like that the more punishment you have in the ibadah, the better the ibadah is. I don't know where that has come from. And when Allah told us about fasting, it is in the verse. He said, يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. So people perform fasting and do a lot of things to make the fast difficult for themselves. Like it is permissible, for example, during fasting, to make a tabarruj, that is, go under the cold shower, get water, please, you know, cool yourself. So some of these people, even when they have such opportunities, they will feel that someone who makes that kind of a thing is not really a Muslim and is not actually doing the fasting as he should do the fast. Because if he's actually fasting as he should fast, the fasting should really put him down. So that he will be on the ground, rolling on the ground. People will come and ask me, what are you doing? Say, don't you know that I'm fasting? So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that when you see they are fasting, you will neglect, you will feel sorry for your own fast. This does not mean that we should not keep to the rulings of fasting. But we should look for ease as much as is possible for us. We should take things easy as is possible for us. And this is why some people even deny that people, when you go for Hajj, you have to trek. Because if you trek, you feel more difficulty. And the more difficulty you feel when you are going for Hajj, the better the Hajj. Where has that come from? So brothers, take the flight. That is easier for you. And Allah wants ease for you. Take flight straight to Jeddah. So let's not think that whenever acts of worship takes more difficulty, then that is better. That is not from the thinking of Islam. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. These people, they will read a lot of Quran. They are always reading the Quran. And this is why some of the companions found it difficult to make the fear of these people. One of them said that Allah spoke about the munafiqun and said, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that the munafiq does not remember Allah except at little period. He said, but these people, all the time they are making remembrance. SubhanAllah. All the time something, they are reciting something. So it is not just the hallucinating vibration of the tongue that's important, but also what the heart says and upon what belief have we based that. If someone sits in the mind and says, La ilaha illallah, he's dancing, and actually does not believe in La kalima La ilaha illallah, haqqan haqqan, what does the La ilaha illallah benefit him? So these people read a lot of Quran, and the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yujawizu taraqiyahum. This Quran, it does not, their recitation does not pass their throat. Yes, a lot of qira'ah, good voice, but it does not extend beyond the throat. This is why ulama warned that those people who know how to recite the Quran, they should always be watching how their hearts are when they recite. How, what is the situation of your heart when you are reciting the Quran? Are you reciting the Quran just to let the people know that you know how to recite? You know Qalqalat al-Subra and Kubra? You know all these Ahkam al-Qira'ah? Or you just want to let the people understand that I memorized it? Or what? Or you really want to let the people understand that this is the correct way to recite the Quran? So it is very, very necessary to always check the heart when you read the Quran and people are hearing you. Be careful so that shaitan does not destroy your initial intention, even if it was good. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. These people, you know, he's telling us about who? Ashabu Dhu Quwaitira. The people of Dhu Quwaitira, who had challenged him that he should be fair. Do we understand? So he said, يَقْرَعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يُجَاوِزُ تَرَاقِيَهُمْ. They will read the Quran, but it does not exceed their throat. يَمُرُقُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ. They will go out of Islam, مِنَ الدِّينِ. In some riwayat, يَمُرُقُونَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. They will go out of Islam, كَمَا يَمُرُقُ السَّحْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَّةِ. The way an arrow goes out of the bow. You know how it goes fast. This hadith is reported by Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud. Most of the scholars of hadith report this hadith. Imam Ajuri in Sharia, Fada'il al-Sahaba, Ahmad bin Hanbal. Many of the scholars report this hadith. In fact, it can be said that it is a hadith that has come from a lot of companions getting close to become mutawatir hadith. Many of the companions reported this hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about Zuhu Quwaitira, Hurqus ibn Zuhayr, and he told us about his people. So it implies that even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a man that was known with Kharijiyya. There was a man that was known as a rebel. That was, he manifested traits of the people that were later known as what? The Khawarij. And that man was Zuhr Waisira, about whom the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it implies that at the time of Uthman ibn Affan, the Ummah actually witnessed people making khuruj. You know, because of the eminence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could not say more than he said. He could not go further. And the Prophet had caught him. He could not go further, so he stopped there. And then at the time of the Uthman ibn Affan, we saw khuruj. But at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, we have told us that he became the Khalifa after Uthman ibn Affan. And the people of Sham, led by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, they were requesting that Ali ibn Abi Talib should find out, the Ummah should find out first those who killed Uthman ibn Affan and make or give them the appropriate punishment before peace will reign in the Ummah. While some of the other people believe that, no, let the peace reign first before we start looking for the people. Because everybody is confused, people are running helter-skelter. How can we know the people who actually perpetrated as evil when we cannot even have stability? So this was the two opinions between those who are behind Ali ibn Abi Talib and those who are behind Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So because of the Aisha radiallahu anha, who had gone to perform Hajj when Uthman ibn Affan was killed. And it was not many people who caused the confusion against Uthman ibn Affan who came to inform Aisha. And they were the same people who were saying that, look, Ali radiallahu anhu had gone to Basra. Don't forget that we said after he became the Khalifa, he left for where? Kufa, where he stayed. And the reason why he did that was that Kufa and Basra were in hot spots. So he felt that as the commander-in-chief of the Muslims, he should be on the hot spots. Perhaps the single presence, the singular fact that the Amir was present there would subdue some of the uprisings there. So he went there. So Aisha radiallahu anha was told that Ali radiallahu anhu had gone to Kufa. So she headed for Kufa. And she was also given the information that there were some fightings amongst the Muslims, and that was actually the reason why Ali ibn Abi Talib went to Kufa. So, wallahu alam, in her thinking, she felt that if she got there, the mere fact that the people saw the wife of the Prophet, they are going to calm their nerves. They are going to calm down. But these same people who had given her information and urged her to come so that she can intervene, we are the very same people who, when she was at a place where very close to Kufa, they were the very same people who came to tell Ali ibn Abi Talib that Aisha radiallahu anha and Zubayr ibn Awwam and Talha ibn Abi ibn Ubaydillah, we are coming to attack them. Do we understand? They gave Aisha radiallahu anha information that should make her come to Kufa. When she was close to the place, they came to tell the people that, look, Aisha is coming to attack you. Because she is saying that you have to search for those who came to Uthman ibn Affan. But actually that was what she was coming for. And because she came in a camel, those people started to say that to the group of Uthman, to the group of Ali ibn Abi Talib who were in Kufa. They were the same people who started to attack some of those that Aisha radiallahu anha had killed, and also attack some of those who were in the camp of Ali ibn Abi Talib, so that it should become as if they have started to attack you. We said they are coming to attack you, and you can see now that they are attacking you. So that was how the skirmish started. There wasn't actually a battle, but just skirmish. So when Ali radiallahu anhu, because Aisha radiallahu anha came on a camel, that incident was referred to us Guess what is Jamaa? This confrontation was referred to as guess what is Jamaa, like say the battle of the camel, because Aisha radiallahu anha came and rode on a camel while she came. But that was what happened, and the people were meant to feel something which was not it. And you will see the hikmah of Ali ibn Abi Talib here, that with this situation it will be difficult to actually fish out those people who were responsible for the killing of who? Uthman ibn Affan. And you can see the evil they continue to perpetrate in the instant. So when Ali ibn Abi Talib came to Aisha radiallahu anha, he informed her what was happening, and she had to return to Medina. In fact, the ulama mentioned that she regretted having come to Kufa in the first place. She regretted having come to Kufa in the first place. And that until she died, whenever she remembered the incident, she was crying. If she had actually gotten the information that got to her when she got to Kufa, that now she becomes regretful regarding, she would not have left and come to Kufa. But she was giving all those information, and she was hoping that the mere fact that she came will make the issue to subside. The wife of the Prophet, the most beloved of women by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So, but instead, the people maneuvered and made sure that her coming itself became an issue. So they incited the crisis, fomented the trouble in every front. So that was referred to as Gaswat al-Jamal, battle of the camel, because Aisha radiallahu anha came there riding on the camel. So she returned to Medina. But the crisis was still there, and some of the people were requesting, that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan to take bayah with Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, I'm not contesting the fact that it's Amir, but what we are saying is, we will not submit until there were those who killed Uthman ibn Affan, we are fished out. So the situation, the tension continues to increase. And it led to another battle between the group of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and that of Ali ibn Abi Talib, which was referred to as Ghazwat al-Siffin. This Ghazwat al-Siffin, in it, 90,000 Muslims died. It is one of the signs of the last hour. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that there will be a war between two large groups of Muslims. Many of the Muslims will die. In one single battle, 90,000 Muslims died. A lot of people were crying at the incident. People felt so bad. People like Abu Huraira, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he knew, because the Prophet had told him all these facts about the fitna and the tribulation. And that's why all this period, from the time of Uthman ibn Affan until the Ummah finally settled, they are referred to as what? Ayyam al-Fitna. They were referred to as Ayyam al-Fitna, the period of crisis and tribulation. So the Ummah was in serious fitna. And to make us further understand that it was the period of fitna, you will see that many people, many deviant texts came from that period, emerged. As a result of the incidents at the time, that's one symbol of the fact that it was a great fitna, because many people got astray from it. And till today, many people also get astray from that incident. Some of those who abuse the companions of Allah's Messenger today abuse them because of these incidents, about which they are free, radiallahu anhu. They were free of them. Those who fomented trouble were known. It was not the companions, radiallahu anhu. And they based each of their positions on the information that they got. And because they themselves were not people receiving revelations, the companions were not receiving revelations. So they were acting based on the information and the knowledge they had at the time regarding the affairs that was happening in the Ummah. So when someone now, especially the one who has read these stories, these incidences from the writings of Mr. Shirikun, the Orientalists, the non-Muslims who studied Islam, subhanAllah, you feel so bad. They painted a picture of companions who were just struggling to become leaders amongst people. And the companions were free from that, radiallahu anhu. So it has become a period of fitna for people. Some people read about it, they hate the companions. And Allah has made us understand that no one hated the companions except the kuffar. He said that in the last portion of Surah Al-Fatih. لِيَبِذَ مِنْهُ الْكُفَّارِ. When the kuffar see the companions, they don't like them, they don't like to have anything to do with them. So, but we said that Allah has praised them and mentioned good of them in so many verses of the Quran, and so did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that was why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, he said, "In the Bukhara of Habib and Siti, when people begin to speak about my companions, be careful, so that you do not make some Sahaba." He said again, "Allah Tasubu Ashabi, do not abuse my companions. For Allah, Allahi la ilaha ghayr, I swear that by Allah, he said soon there is no death worthy of worship. وَلَوْ أَصْبَقَ أَحَدِكُمْ مِثْلَهُمْ بِذَهَبًا, if any one of you spend the kind of consumers in sadaqa, which is gold, in sadaqa, مَا بَلَغَ مَبْلَغَهُ وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ, he will not reach their level. Even half of their level, he will not reach. That's why Muhammad in Usul Sunnah, he was saying that the best of this ummah, the best person in this ummah, in knowledge, in anything, is still less in excellence in the sight of Allah than the least of the companions in the sight of Allah. Do we understand? The best person, Abu Usman al-Nahdi, was a muhakram, someone who had accepted Islam before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was coming to Medina to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The day he came into Medina, he saw people crying, the Prophet had died. So he saw the comfort of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Usman al-Nahdi reported hadith from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, from Umar, from all the companions, the eminent, because they were all in Medina at the time. But yet it's not a companion. Abu Usman al-Nahdi was a tabi'i, very learned tabi'i, but he's not a companion. Why? Because he did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his eyes. So as eminent and knowledgeable as Abu Usman al-Nahdi can be and is actually, rahimahullah, the least companion who met the Prophet, believed in the Prophet and died on Islam is still better than Abu Usman al-Nahdi. Do we understand? So the companions were the best of people in this ummah, radiallahu anhum, and they are free from all those that people attribute to them. So after this battle of 16, Ali ibn Abi Talib was returning to Kufa. When it was said that the Muslims finally agreed, just after Ghazwat 16, that why not we, actually it was said that some of the people in the camp of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, they tied copies of Quran to their swords and raised it up, that look, let this battle stop. So they read copies of the Quran up. Let the Quran be the judge. So the people settled down, and it was agreed that each of the parties should appoint someone to represent it. These two people should adjudicate the matter and decide what will happen. Do we understand? So on the side of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, they brought in Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As, the father of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. And on the side of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they brought Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. They brought Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhum. So the two of them were discussing on the matter. So it implies that the two parties who were at war, that has now agreed to settle the matter with two delegates, one from each side, have to go back to their camp. When Ali ibn Abi Talib was returning to Kufa, some of these people, Zubayr and his people, that the Prophet told us about, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came to say that now they do not believe that Ali ibn Abi Talib, they were in the camp of Ali ibn Abi Talib, because they believe that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan should actually take the oath of allegiance from Ali ibn Abi Talib. So they left Ali ibn Abi Talib saying that they now believe that Ali ibn Abi Talib is a kafir. The reason why they thought that they were making the fear of Ali ibn Abi Talib was because they said that in al-hukm illa billah, ruling and judgment is only with Allah, and that Ali ibn Abi Talib has allowed that other than Allah adjudicate. He has said that a human being should adjudicate. Do we understand? He has said that Amr ibn al-As and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari should adjudicate. So he's saying that other than Allah to abdicate is kufr. And they were saying that in al-hukm illa lillah. So they declared hastily, they declared Ali ibn Abi Talib as a kafir. So this is what, this is the beginning of the crisis of the Khawarij. The area where this beef against Ali ibn Abi Talib was called Harura. And that's why they are referred to as Haruriya or Haruriya, the people of Haruri. It was the area where the people declared that they were no more following Abu Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they were declaring as a kafir. That was the area where this incident took place. So they did that, and they were now making the takfir of other Muslims. Do you understand? They are now saying that the Muslims are kuffar. Anyone who does not agree with what they say is a kafir. Do you understand? Look at even Faisal. That is the most of what he says. When he makes the fear of someone, he will say, and it is not permissible not to agree that the person he has made the fear of is a kafir. And anyone who does not agree that that person is a kafir is also a kafir. So the string of the fear continues. Kafir, kafir, it like becomes a string, like a drum being beaten by someone in some craziness. So they make the fear of people, and they make the fear of the companions. So if someone makes the fear of the one that Allah says to that Rabbiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu, so then there should be a way of resolving between the verse and the person making the tafsir. Either to say that the verse was right and that the person is someone that Allah is pleased with, or the person says that no, the verse is wrong and by that becomes a kafir. Do we understand? It was a serious matter. So they said that Ali radiallahu anhu was a kafir, and they camped in this place Harura. Ali left them and went to Kufa. So after some time, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu spoke to Ali ibn Abi Talib that, let me go and meet these people. Ali said, no, I'm afraid they can kill you. Because any person they declare as a kafir, the meaning is that his blood was legal. They could kill the person. So Ali ibn Abi Talib said to Ibn Abbas, don't go, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for you. He said to him, radiallahu anhu, and Umar ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas, that they consider me as a gentleman and as a learned person. If they see me, they will calm down. So Ali radiallahu anhu allowed Abdullah ibn Abbas to go to their camp. So Abdullah ibn Abbas is Bahr al-Ummah. Let not the one who is weak in knowledge try that with the people of Bid'ah. Don't say you want to go and meet the people of Bid'ah. Al-Ruwaydi, there is a man called Al-Ruwaydi in the history of Islam. He used to relate with the Rawatib, the Shia, who come to them tomorrow, inshallah. Everywhere they go, he's going there. And Imam Muzabi mentioned that in Sirah al-Nubala. He said that each time the people told Al-Ruwaydi, don't go to the Shia, he said, I want to know their evidences. I want to know their evidences. So he was sitting in their learning circle, until he himself became a Rafid. Not only that, he became a Mulhid. He denied that there is no Allah. So they called him Al-Ruwaydi Al-Mulhid. Al-Ruwaydi, the one who denies Allah. He denies that Allah does not exist. He wrote books on it. He wrote books on it that Allah does not exist. Where did it start from? Mujalasatu Ahlil Bid'ah. Sitting with the people of innovation. So don't say Ibn Abbas went to meet Khawarij. Ibn Abbas is Bahr al-Ummah. The Prophet has prayed to him, for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allahumma faqihu fi deen. Oh Allah, make him understand this deen and give him the knowledge of tafsir. So it is difficult to find any verse of Quran except that you find Ibn Abbas explaining something regarding what happened there with the Khawarij. We testify to this setup, this learned setup of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So don't make evidence with Ibn Abbas to go and meet the people of Bid'ah. Not only that, the ulama also discouraged that even someone who is a scholar, who is a learned person, discusses with the people of Bid'ah in a debate when his own audience are there. His own innocent audience. He said because some of them, they are weak in knowledge. Something just gets into their heart and they go like that. and it begins to develop. By the time you know it, they also become people of those leaders. So let us be careful. Don't say you want to know their evidence. Keep away. Because these matters, even people who are bred, there are aspects of it that you find difficult to reconcile. And Imam Muhammad bin Hanbal has resolved the matter in Usulul Sunnah. He said, just believe in it. Just believe what did the Quran say, what did the Hadith say, and what were the companions upon. Believe it, even when your understanding is low and it's not high enough to comprehend what has been said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas went to their camp and they assembled around him, radiallahu anhuma. So he asked them, what are the reasons for your making takfir upon Ali ibn Abi Talib? Your positions, what are the reasons for them? They stated three things. The first thing they said to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, was that Ali ibn Abi Talib has agreed to make a human being a judge when it is Allah who is the judge. Ibn Abbas asked them, radiallahu anhu, do you have any other thing apart from that? He said, yes. He said, what is it? He said, when they fought, when Ali ibn Abi Talib fought, that was in Jamal. He did not take prisoners of war. And by that, he is against what is agreed upon in the Ummah, that the Muslims take prisoners of war. So Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he asked them again, is there any other thing? He said, yes, there is. They mentioned the third matter. What do you mean? What is the third matter? I'm just talking. What is the third matter? Inshallah, if I remember, I'll mention it. Now, they said, during when he has agreed that Amr ibn al-As and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari should judge the case, they said that Ali ibn Abi Talib, during when they wrote down the judgment, they wrote that it was an agreement between the representatives of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. So Abu ibn al-As said, if I agree that Ali ibn Abi Talib is a Khalifa, then I will not come here. So remove this Amir al-Mu'mineen. It was told to Ali radiallahu anhu that they said that to counsel Amir al-Mu'mineen, besides your name, say yes, counsel it. So they said that it meant that Ali ibn Abi Talib had refused the fact that he was Amir, one, and the fact that they said Ali ibn Abi Talib had agreed that he's not Amir, and by that he has agreed to the ruling. So they linked that to the fourth accusation. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu asked them, if I give you evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah regarding what has happened and you have presented, will you agree? They say yes, they will agree. But it was said that some of them, they were hesitant to discuss with Ibn Abbas. They said that because in the Quran, Allah had discussed, had mentioned the Quraysh as Qawmun Khatimun. You know, when they were talking about Isa alayhi salam. I think that's in Surah Shura or Fusilat, that Allah refers to them as Qawmun Khatimun. That is a group of people who like arguments. So for them, that you are saying, I'm not listening to him, he is Quraysh, and the Quraysh, they are Qawmun Khatimun. They forgot that the Prophet himself is from Quraysh. Quraysh. So if you say Quraysh is Qawmun Khatimun, are you also including the Prophet? Do we understand? So what that implied, it was talking to the Mushrikun, but they were applying it to the Muslims. It was one of the ways of the Khawarij. When the verse of Quran comes regarding non-Muslims, they will quote it and make it refer to the Muslims. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu began to repeat them one after the other. He said, as regards your saying that Ali ibn Abi Talib made Allah's ruling, made adjudication that should be for Allah to be for human beings. He said Allah also said that Allah also gave adjudication to human beings. Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu la taqtulu as-sayda wa antum hurum. O you who believe, do not kill, do not go for hunting, do not kill
animal, sport, want to shurub when you are in ihram. He says, وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مُتَعَمِّدًا. He says, the one who deliberately kills his sport, he says, فَجَزَاءُ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النِّعَمِنَ النَّعْبِ. What he will do is the life of what he has created, he has to pay it back. يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ. And the people who are just amongst you, يَحْكُمُ بِهِ, they are going to be sure, they are going to be the one to adjudicate. That is, they will supervise the fact that he is killing the life of what he has killed. Do we understand? He says so here, Allah gave judgment to come, Allah gave judgment to human beings here. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said here, Allah gave judgment, it gave hukum to human beings. He said, يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ. Those, the fear just ones amongst you, they should be the one who make hukum, they should be the one who make ruling, who make witness for the one who wants to pay back the kind of what he had killed when he was in ihram of sport. He says, so that is one evidence. The second evidence was in Surah An-Nisa. And that is about where Allah says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. He says, فَبْوَاكُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. He said, yeah, Allah said, if there is crisis between the husband and the wife, we should, and the two of them want peace between the two of them, they should be حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. And what Ali ibn Abi Talib has done is Muawiyah, is to bring one person bring hakam from minhum and the other one brings another hakam minhum. He said, so Allah delegated ruling also to human beings here. He said to them, do you understand and agree with me? They say, yes, they understand and agree. Of course they have to. It is too convincing not to agree. Radiallahu anhu. So that's why we are saying, don't take the position of Ibn Abbas here to say you are going to meet Sufi when you are not capable of facing the Sufi. Because you can see from the evidence of Ibn Abbas that it was really, really Ibn Abbas. Radiallahu anhu. Bahri al-Umma. So he said, as regards your saying that I said they should cancel Amir al-Mu'mineen from my name. Say yes. During the battle of, during Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was met by the Kufar, and they wrote between Muhammad Rasulullah and the Mushrik of Kufa, the Mushrikun or the people of Makkah. And the people said, no, if we believe that there is a prophet, we will not come here. Come to this Rasulullah. And the Prophet said, where is the Rasulullah? They just look at it, say, okay, cancel it. And they cancelled Rasulullah. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cancelled Rasulullah, not because it's not Rasul, but to seek peace, then you might say, cancel Amir al-Mu'mineen to seek peace, there's no blame, because the Prophet is even better than me. He said to them, Abdullah ibn Abbas said to them, do you agree? Do you agree with that? They say, yes, we agree. He said, do you agree? They said, we agree. He said, okay, he said, I did not take prisoners of war. That Ali radiallahu anhu, after the battle of Jamal, the ruling is that if two Muslims quarrel and fight, you cannot take, a Muslim cannot take another Muslim as a slave. You can only take kuffar as slaves and prisoners of war. So that was why there were no prisoners of war. So during that battle of Jamal, there was no war in the first place. But they were the ones who were insinuating these things. So he even said to them, even if there was a war and prisoners of war are to be taken, if I take Aisha radiallahu anha as prisoners of war, who amongst you will take her as your slave? If you take Aisha as your slave, you would have become a kafir, because she's your mother, by the straight clear verse of the Quran. So you would have been denying that verse of the Quran. Who amongst you will take Aisha? They were ashamed to say they will take. So everybody kept quiet. He asked them, radiallahu anhuma, do you agree with this that I have explained? They say yes, they agree. As Ibn Abbas stood up to go, some of them followed him. You know, we said that some of these people were people that they didn't actually have positions. Any wind that blew them to positions. So many of them went away Many of them went away with Abdullah ibn Abba. Inshallah, we are going to stop here so that we can start from a convenient place. Aqulu ma aqulu hadha wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Immediately after the Quran, we talk for that immediately so that we can complete the discussion.